Okay, we're ready.
Okay. As the chair of the Board of Trustees of the Mount Ogden Public Infrastructure Districts numbers 1 through 3, I hereby call this regular meeting of the Board of Trustees to order at 3:34 p.m.
Yes.
Okay. On March 15th, 2023, at the anchor location of Clifton Larson Allen, 6955 South Union Park Center, Suite 300, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84047. In compliance with the requirements of Utah's Open and Public Meetings Law, 1, notice of this meeting has been duly posted and published, and 2, this meeting is being recorded in minutes of the meeting in its entirety are being kept. Present, we have myself, the chair, and Bill Fiveash, who is treasurer, I believe.
He is.
We do not yet have Tim Hendon in attendance. And we have the manager, CLA, Michael Jensen, Reagan Mansfield, support, help, Shelby Clymer from CLA, and Brent Rose from Five Snow, and Steve Isowitz as a as an observer attendee. Anything else on item number 1, call to order?
No, sir.
Item number 2, citizen public input. If there are any of our attendees, Steve, I think you're the only member of the public at large, so to speak. If you have any input, feel free to say so. But 3 minutes if you would like. Seeing none. Okay, moving on to item number 3.
Hopefully you guys had a chance to review them. If you have any questions, comments, let me know and I can make adjustments.
I didn't have any, did you, Dave?
I did not.
In which case, I'll make a motion to approve the meetings of the minutes of all 3 board of the Mount Ogden Public Infrastructure Districts numbers 1, 2, and 3 meeting held on
second, I suppose, and call for a vote. Any discussion, further input? Bill?
No, sir.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes from January 25th, 2023, please say aye.
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 The ayes have it.
Ayes have it.
Okay. Item number 4, public hearings. There are none. Item number 5, number 1, 5.1, consideration and approval of the administrative policies and procedures.
So, Mr. Chair, Brent and I have worked on these. These are policies and procedures that all of the PIDs that we have worked with pretty much throughout the state use these policies and procedures. So the policies deal with what the state auditor requires us to have as a district. So they lay out, there's a thing called a fraud risk assessment that we'll need to do, and Dave and Bill, you two will be the ones who sign. As the what they're going to say is that the chair is the chief administrative officer and the treasurer is the chief financial officer. That's how the state auditor lists it out in their requirements. So these policies are laid out basically by them and a requirement by them. Let me share those. All right, can everyone see those?
Yes.
Okay. So come down, just the basic administrative, all the whereas clauses. So the first one's conflict of interest. So you guys have done the first set. So going forward, we're gonna need annually to do a conflict of interest. And then at any point, if you guys have a financial interest in a company, right, that you would just declare it. So PIDs by nature are always going to have a conflict. It's just the way they are. So as long as we just disclose, then we're fine. You guys in state law are not required to recuse yourself from any vote. And Brent, hop in at any point if you want to add anything as I'm going through these. Next one, ethical behavior policy, basically just says that you're going to do everything in an ethical manner. You're going to put the district first, and what the district needs to do. Procurement policy.
Let me just say on that, that there is a Utah Public Employees and Officers Ethics Act. And most of these things that are in there are taken right out of that act as the things that you're bound to comply with. As public officers and the trustees of the public trust.
So moving on, thanks Brent. We have the procurement policy. So all districts in Utah have to follow the procurement code. One of the things the code allows us to do is kind of adjust it based on our districts, the size, those kind of things. So what we've done is basically any purchase up to $1,000 can be approved. And Dave, you would just need to be the one to say that you're good with it up to that $1,000. From $1,000 to $7,000, there needs to be verbal quotes. So like if we go and do the outside audits, we can go and get three verbal quotes from different audit firms. If anything's between $7,000 to $20,000, we need to get written quotes. Nowadays, I would even argue the verbal quotes, we do them by email, so we have those, but officially from 7 to 20, we need to get written quotes. And then anything over 20 needs to be a competitive bid. So any question about those? And the biggest thing with the public infrastructure districts are the developers, the one who's doing the work. So you're going to be doing the work. So in most cases, we're really not ever going to meet that $7,000 to $20,000 range just by nature of the PIDs. So travel policy really comes into effect anything outside of 50 miles from the administrative office, whatever we list as the office. So if you're doing district business, keep track of your mileage, gets paid at the IRS rate. If you need to fly, there's the rules based on flying, how to deal with it. The one thing is that the CAO needs to be the one to approve it, Dave. So everybody will just need to come to you and tell you that they're traveling, basically. At the end, on the exhibits, we have the travel reimbursement form that's part of these policies and procedures. Next, we need to have an audit committee. So there needs to be at least one board member, and then any other people that will help. My suggestion is having Shelby, because she's familiar, understands the financial side. And then if we want anyone else, then they could be part of the audit committee. But we need at least one board member to be part of that. Audit committee's gonna meet maybe twice a year. We'll put it at the very beginning of like a pre-meeting prior to the board meeting. Should only last 10 minutes maybe. You're gonna deal with the outside auditors when they are done with the audit. They're gonna basically kind of give you guys what they found in the audit. And then in turn, the audit committee will report back to the full board about the audit, and then have the full board accept the audit. Any questions about that one?
Most of the districts I represent, when the audit committee asks the auditor to make the report to the board itself. So
yeah, we can do it however the board would like. The next, I'm sorry.
Going back to the procurement or the authorization for expenditures, are any of those items subject to the state procurement laws of, posting it on the site and having to go through the process that state and public governments do?
The smaller amount ones, I don't believe do. As far as the big ones, there might be a dollar threshold. Brent, do you know on that one? Because I don't.
I'm not an expert in procurement. We have people in the firm who are more adept at that than them. But I think generally speaking, if you were hiring a contractor on a $2 million project, the state procurement code would apply.
Yeah.
The same as it does at any level of the state.
I'll look into that.
Put it on the state's procurement site. And, have probably like a more formalized process. Really.
Very much more formalized, for the bigger deals.
All right. The next four policies deal with cash receiving and deposit. If the district were to ever bring in cash, we won't. Credit card procedures, we're stating in here that the district isn't going to authorize or put out any credit cards to anybody. Personal use of assets, keep it simple. District's probably not going to have very many assets, but no personal use of any assets. That because the district, and then moving on, IT and security, district doesn't have any employees, not going to have emails or technology, but in the event that they would, then we would expand this policy so that it would be covered. Again, those four are just covered inside of what the state auditor wants us to have and what they tell the outside auditors to look for to make sure we have all of these policies. Next is the reporting fraud or abuse, and then also the fraud risk hotline. So reporting fraud or abuse is more of an internal policy and function. So if we were to have employees, this would be the way the employees would be able to report the fraud or abuse. Basically, they can go to any of the board members. The board members then would take it to the full board, and then there would be an investigation done. Fraud risk hotline is for outside of the organization. If anybody in the general public were to think there's any issues, it lays out how they would get a hold of the board. Basically, we give the link to the public website, the public notice website, where it's got all of your names, your phone numbers, and your emails so that they could get in touch with one of the board members. So that's those two policies. Then coming down, here are the exhibits. So this is the annual conflict of interest form that we'll do every year going forward. Here's the ethical pledge. You guys have done that one. And then here's the travel reimbursement form. So any questions about those policies and procedures? So the relationship between the PID and the developer, there is no conflict. So the procurement code doesn't come into play. You guys, I guess we could say, if you guys wanted at board meetings to say there was a conflict, Brent, you would be the attorney advising them, but... No.
For example, if you're gonna fund the construction of a pipeline, process to hire the contractor. Here, and we'd hire an engineering firm that would do all of that, put that all together. If the district's going to, PID district's going to reimburse the developer for improvements the developer's already put in, I don't think that there'd be a procurement there, because it's a sort of a sole source thing. I mean, they're buying this thing that the district did.
This asset. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's how that would work. I've never, honestly, you know, bids are brand new. I've never been involved with one. But I'm pretty sure, what are there, three or four in the state. But that's my understanding. Let me just say that. I don't see how reimbursing a developer that the bid's going to have to go through a bidding process where that was the project that was done, and you've issued bonds to generate the revenue necessary to make the reimbursements. So I think that wouldn't apply there. But if you're going
to get a contract,
you're going to actually buy assets, you're actually going to buy construction services to build a system, then yeah, you would. Clearly.
Yep. So if you're building it, then you're good. If the developer is the one building it. Because again, there's just a natural built-in conflict no matter what. So when the legislature did it, they recognized that. And so that's why PIDs are in their own section of the code. They have their own rules when it comes to developer building assets and infrastructure. Okay.
Do see even notification of sole source projects sometimes. So at some point we might need to ask somebody who kind of specializes in state procurement law if we have to do that, but maybe we just do it if we reach that point to just be, you know, extra cautious and thorough.
Right. Cool. That was the only question I had. Is there anything else we need to discuss before we make a motion to adopt those policies? Any questions you have, Dan?
I just was going to ask, Brent, have you reviewed those?
Yes.
Brent wrote them.
Well, even better.
We used the format that the state auditor basically uses, as I understand it, but I reviewed them. I didn't invent the language. It's state auditor approved language that reviewed them.
Yeah, because we need to get a couple forms signed. So.
So our today at this meeting, Michael, we're looking to adopt these as a policy and need a motion for that, correct?
Yes.
So I'll make a motion to adopt. Oh, go ahead.
Mike or Bill, they're in the format of a resolution, so you'd be adopting resolution number whatever it is, setting forth the administrative policies and procedures for the districts.
Perfect. I will make a motion to adopt resolution 2023-02 for the Mount Ogden Public Infrastructure Districts numbers 1, 2, and 3, which is a resolution adopting the administrative policies and procedures.
Okay, seeing no more requests for discussion, second, take to a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. It is adopted. I believe, Michael, you numbered it as 2023-02.
Yeah, I was thinking that we did a budget resolution as 01, but we can keep it at 02.
Okay.
It'll probably drag Brent crazy, but we can keep it at 02.
As long as you put it in an official book somewhere.
Reagan will help me remember that, won't you, Reagan?
Yes, I will. Tim, did we get you on? Is that what I see?
Yeah, sorry, I was wearing my HR hat, so apologize for being late.
No worries.
which is considering PLA's proposal. We had just passed a resolution to adopt the policies and procedures. So item 5.2, I guess, Michael, or Shelby, do you want to take us through this quickly?
Yeah, let me do some quick background. So last board meeting when we talked about it, you guys instructed us to get the MSA and the SOW to you guys. There was talk that you guys felt comfortable because the other boards were using and that we would come back and ratify. That was the general tone of the discussion, but just as background. So I'll let Shelby talk and go through them.
Do you have other additional questions, or Tim?
Is this for the agreement with DLA?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, if anybody would like to make a motion, please feel free.
What action do we need to take on this? Is it a resolution or just an action to authorize the president of the board to sign the agreement?
Just a motion.
The latter, yeah.
Gotcha. So I'll make a motion to authorizing Dave Hirasawa as the president of the board of the Mount Hawk is 123 to enter into the CLA agreement that we reviewed.
Okay. Any further discussion sought or necessary? I guess that's to you, Tim.
Nothing else for me.
We just need a second, Mr. Chair.
Second.
Yeah, I'll come up.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Just so you all know, to keep what goes on in the public sector different from the corporate sector, you are referred to as trustees, not directors. And you've got a chair of the board, not a president. So Michael can correct that, but that came up in the meetings today with the Snow Basin. Jim asked that question. Now, where are we for? Are we directors or what are we? And the technical term, you're trustees of the district.
Perfect. Thank you.
That's helpful to know. Okay, Tim, did I catch an aye from you as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, that is all I had on the agenda. If you guys have anything else, Shelby, did you have anything? Did you want to talk about bill.com or will that be a later discussion?
Yeah, I think that would be probably much later.
Okay.
Okay, anybody else? Any other business for today? Okay, other than that, I think we'll take a motion to adjourn if anybody would like to make one.
I'll motion to adjourn our meeting.
Okay. those in favor say aye.
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 Thanks, guys.
Thanks, you guys.